Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. Thank
Good morning.
You for joining us back here another week for On Point. I'm your Trey, your host, A Trey. And yeah, it was a long week, people. It was a long week. And we're glad to be back again. I have here joining me Ty Trees. Thanks, Ty. I appreciate you being here with me today, bro. How you doing?
I'm good. And yourself, Trey?
Not too bad. You know, this is in recognition of Black History Month. So we decided
right.
that we want to try to keep it a little, you know, just keep it on course a little bit and stay on point, you know, pun intended. But today, our first segment, just so you know, is Knowing the Road to Selma. And in recognition of the continued observance of Black History Month, we just want to take a look back in time to one of the most prolific moments in American history, one which changed much of America's mindsets. Their perspectives, their view of America's lesser recognized children, African Americans, and to also look at some of the unknown history about the now iconic site at the name the name of the bridge crossed on that historic march from Selma to Montgomery on March 7th, 1965. It's also unfortunately dubbed Bloody Sunday. The name on the bridge is Edmund Pettus. He was a senator, U.S. senator, who has a history all his own and continuing to promote it until this very day, and hardly anybody knows about it. Well, Ty, a lot of people know about Selma, the march, and so forth, and there are some that are still a little bit oblivious to it. A lot of the youngsters today probably couldn't even tell you where Selma was, and that's okay, but it's a bad thing. It means that we're not integrating knowledge into our future. We're not letting them know this is where we started, this is where we are, and this is where you could help us get to. That's my feeling about it. And you sometimes you look and you wonder, what kind of legacy are we going to leave behind as a people? Does anybody know any of the contributions that we've ever even made, you know? And if so, are they recognized? You know? And I've said this before, our first president, couple presidents too after that. Our first president, father of our country, George Washington, esteemed as, oh yeah, yeah, the wood teeth, wonderful, blah blah blah. You know, general, you know, he was a mastermind at war, had a good moment, lucky. Delaware crossing, you know, the whole cherry tree thing. All the superficial stuff, the aesthetic stuff, people know about it. Then when you look into the character of a person and you find out what they're about, does that change their legacy? Does that change what they stand for? He owned 400 slaves, which clearly meant that he wasn't a big supporter of the Browner initiative. And if he was like, yes, I have 400 people just so I can make sure they're safe here on my plantation. And, I pay them a wage, you know, they get a hut. I don't want to take anything from him because he had a lot of great accomplishments. But it's still, my daddy told me, if you don't stand up for something, you will always fall for anything. And there's people
right.
all throughout our history that have always stood up for something. They just
yep.
cited that the bridge, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, is now being inducted as a national landmark. National landmark. And we know that 600 civilians, unarmed, walked across that bridge or attempted to walk across the bridge. All in the name of civil rights. They just wanted to show solidarity and with the rest of their country to have the opportunity, the right to vote. That's all they wanted to do. And in retrospect, if you look at where they started their journey, where they were going to, the place they ended up, it's outlandishly ironic. Did you know, in this quiet circle tie, that they called that bridge Lost Nigger's Mile?
No, I didn't know that.
That's crazy.
I guess that goes back to your earlier question of how people's legacies can be affected, because I think had that piece of information been made known, of course people would not think so highly of that particular individual who's the bridge been named after.
Of course not. It would shake things. It would make things look terrible. Shake up how his legacy would look. I'm not trying to disrupt it. I'm not trying to disrupt it, you know, because, you know, I haven't even touched base on it. Do you know that there wasn't a case that an African-American brought into their city court, their city hall, that wasn't won by African-American from the early 1900s, from 1800 to 1936, I believe it is? I'll do a little more research, but I believe it was 1936. Imagine going into court and nobody before you that looks like you would win. Ever.
Yeah, that has to be depressing.
Just a touch.
Heartbreak.
And
right.
Just a touch. Let's look at the benefactor of the name for the bridge. Let's look at the namesake. Edmund Pettus. And mind you, he did some things. You know. For 48 years, the Edmund Pettus Bridge was like the site for one of the most horrific attacks on home your home people at all. 600 civil rights demonstrators. They were just traveling from Selma to Montgomery, and the then governor. George Wallace ordered state and local police to stop the march on the ground for public safety. The group was confronted aggressively by the authorities. They got hit with billy clubs, tear gas, hoses,
mm-hmm.
and people died. People died. And it became unaffectionately known as Bloody Sunday. Now, the Secretary of the Interior, his name is Ken Salazar, Director of National Park Services, Jonathan Jarvis, declared that the bridge be marked a historic landmark, honoring its significance as a site of a major turning point in the civil rights movement.
Right.
I agree and disagree. You know, I guess they say you have to break some eggs in order to make a souffle. Wonderful. The bridge is now one of 13 new sites that receive national recognition. It also including the home of Uncle Tom's Cabin, you know, the author Harriet Beecher Stowe, and is also in the same location. And they reenact the same thing every year for March, of the March. It has a nasty appeal. It has a nasty appeal, especially when you hear who is on the front. What do you know about? I mean, a lot of people haven't heard of them.
You can bet the people in that city and town are fully aware who he is and the meaning of the other side of that name for that bridge. You can bet they know what it is.
Yes. Yeah. True that. Because of that attack, it contributed rather heavily to the passage of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Now, it's considered to be our country's most effective piece of legislation, civil rights legislation. And currently, the law's facing changes to Section 5. And for those people who are familiar with that statute, Section 5 is like the main reason why the voting rights is effective in civil rights now. The statute was passed in this country. It's supposed to be equal ground. That's what it's supposed to be. But did you know that it always comes up for review every 30 years? I don't know a Caucasian, not that that matters. I don't know a Caucasian that has to have something on the books that says, hey, you have a right to vote again, and we'll review it again in 30 years. I was kind of surprised by that.
Mm.
Totally, totally surprised by it. It caught me off guard. I was like, how does that work? How does that work? Let's look at Mr. Pettis. He's a senator from Alabama. He was born in Limestone County, Alabama, in 1821. So you know what time he came from. His grandfather owned slaves. His great-grandfather owned slaves. That says a little bit. Attending common schools in Alabama and Clinton College in Smith County, Tennessee. He studied law. Admitted to the bar in 1842, commenced practice in Gainesville, Alabama. He pretty much stayed home where he was. Elected solicitor for the Seventh Circuit Court in 1844. He served as a lieutenant in the Mexican War. Again, solicitor from 1853 to 1855-56, one of us. He was elected a judge of the Seventh Circuit Court in 1855 and resigned about 3 years later. Moved to Dallas County, still in Alabama. Resumed another practice. He picked up another practice, law. He served as an envoy from Alabama to Mississippi during the formation of the Southern Confederacy. That lets you know a little bit about him. He joined the Confederate Army as a major in 1861. He was a brigadier general of the infantry in 1863 and served there till the close of the Civil War. He returned back to Selma, practiced law again, was elected as a Democrat to the United States Senate, 1897, reelected in 1903. 100 years ago, plus, and served from March of 1897 until he passed away at Hot Springs, Madison County, in 1907. Man, that man was incredible. Hats off to him. Oh, I forgot to mention, he was a Ku Klux Klan member.
Oh, yeah?
Right. And, you know, he did it big. He did
it big. He put his name in a Google search. You don't see or get any of that information.
Oh, it's there. You just got to know how to look. You know, they used to say something that made me really mad. You want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book.
Book?
That bugged me. That bugged me. So I make it a point. I make it a point and to read. I don't have to do it all out in front and everybody, oh, he's reading. It's not to prove it. It's not to prove that I'm not stupid. It's to prove that I'm able to do so, that I'm smarter than the status quo, that I'm stronger in my constitution about who I want to be, who I want people to see. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not only was he a Ku Klux Klan member, he was the Grand Dragon.
Wow. The Grand Lizard, huh?
You know, that puts him at the top of the food chain in that organization.
Yep.
Hats off to you gentlemen for for such longevity. So happy that we could give you motivation. Nonetheless, think about this. And I'm gonna close with that. Through all his achievements, it's a wonderful thing. Because he gave something back. He added to his legacy. A brown man should do that. He strived to be better than what was expected of him. Brown man should do that. He excelled. And so his community can see that he was worth a damn. A brown man should do that. And he put forth his best foot. His brown man should do that. He became a member of one of the most infamous groups on the face of the planet that's so racially biased, it's incredible. And they have, they just have a strong dislike, disregard, loathsome disdain for everything outside of their specific race. A brown man can't do that. You have to be better. You got to be better. Here's something just to think about. You name a high school, Martin Luther King High. Out front, they're going to put a plaque with his picture on it. And it's going to have his date and when he was born and when he passed away. It's going to say his achievement. And it's going to say what he stood for. And you might keep it. Outside of another school, you might see Marcus Garvey High. And it's going to show when he was born and when he passed away. What were his achievements and what he stood for. And you might keep it. Hell, outside of a school, you might see George W. Bush High. College. Technical school. Outside, they're going to have a bust and a plaque when he was born and when he passes away. And what his achievements were and what he stood for. And you might keep it. So I'm asking you, people of Selma, if one of you are happening to listen to me, knowing what you know, do one or two things. Change that. Do you really want that bridge that they've inducted to be a national landmark to hold the name of an individual you know had hate in his heart? Built upon it. Rested upon it. His family lived by it. He was a big proponent of it. Really?
Hmm.
And do you really want that? If you don't, you don't have to change the name, but do this. Put a plaque up. Say when he lived, when he passed, what his achievements were, and then place what he stood for. And if you still feel good about that, cool. But you have no argument for seeing something that you consider ignorant until you knowingly remove something that's just insulting, degradingly ignorant. That's just my opinion. Let that heal. You know what? I'm going to move on to our segment behind closed doors. And we have something that's there. We have something that's there. Let the scar heal. I'm not him. And if it was a female, I'm not her. We're going to just modestly address sins of the past and how we bring them into the present that inevitably shapes our futures and relationships. How many of you right now are constantly judging somebody because of the actions of another person? Then it's not fair. Let those scars heal. Don't keep reopening them. If it hurts you, I'm sorry. If it hurts you, she's sorry. Don't judge me by the actions of another person. You know, have you been in that position, Ty?
Oh yeah, I definitely have been. And like you said, don't make the mistake of having to judge someone else or your significant other for the problems that you've gone through with the other person. I mean, I look at it like as a medium, as far as, okay, this is something I don't want to be a part of, because here we go again, and I know how that turned out. So, you know, I think to some degree it's okay to measure, not judge, but measure, because in everything we do, we have to calculate.
Well and, stated. Well
know, measure
stated. Like
how you judge how much of a tolerance you're going to take from, you know, this person and the things that you don't really like. So I think that you have to measure to some degree, not judge, because, you know, we all have to be able to tell the distance from point A to point B, or how much suffering we're willing to deal or go through. So, you know, that's just something you want to have to take a real strong look at when you're considering someone else you want to be with, because, you know, you can go down the same road, but you're not going to expect a happy ending from the same old storyline, you know.
They say that there's a little cliche that says that the meaning of insanity, the definition of insanity, is continually doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different outcome.
Right.
So the best way to lose a relationship, to defeat yourself in a relationship, is by having that relationship set on the platform to be judged by from the actions of a previous relationship.
Right, and equally and wholeheartedly as well, because, you know, you can't be biased and prejudiced and have those different things including to what you decide or how you decide to measure how much you're going to tolerate or be with somebody, you know.
See, here's the thing, and this is just my opinion. People are the same all the way around. You're going to run across something that's pretty much the same.
Right.
If you used to be with this female and every time that the previous female fixed food, she'd always say, well, I fixed dinner. I cleaned the floor and I washed the dishes. And she always advertised everything she did, even before you could recognize it and give her and notice it. Well, all of a sudden you see a female. She comes in. Chances are she's going to do the same thing. She could. She's like, you know what? I fixed dinner. I cleaned the floor. And I washed dishes. And you say, ah, see? You just like blah, blah, blah. But let it finish. Let it finish. Don't be so quick to be critical. Because the next thing she could have said is, you know, now that we have all this out the way, let's go out and have some fun.
Right.
You you never let it finish. You have to let everybody have their say. Let them finish. Let it go through. There's a male, there's a female out there right now. Here's something. New relationships in any manner, in any context of a relationship. Partners, ace, coon, boons, your boy, you know, family, brothers, sisters, significant others, lovers, you know, friends, you know, just, it's a relationship. I don't care how you look at it. It's a relationship. Don't judge that person up front. Don't judge them. You actually, at that point, the moment you start to judge them from the actions of another person, you've already destroyed something that could well turn out to be significant for the both of you, for all of you. You know?
Right.
Just let it run its course. And here's something. Address something as it happened. Don't hold ish. Don't keep ish inside. Address it as it happened. But don't attack as, you know, with malice. Don't do that. It's not cool. It's uncool. Not sexy. It's not even mature. You don't like it?
Right.
Address it. You know. But keep your cool about it.
Betrayed. I ain't gonna lie. I judge, and I don't say judge to condemn, but more so judge to measure. Because, you know, just imagine if you're going through something and you don't even have no sense of where, what, when, and how, or how much is needed,
right,
or how much less in that regard. So you're just basically like a vessel or a ship without a sails in the middle of the ocean, just aimlessly wandering. And if you expect good, positive results out of that, then, you know, you got another thing coming. So I think we all should be able to have a positive mental aspect of some form of measuring to determine if this person is a good suit for yourself, you know.
Yeah, like, you're my boy, but I don't judge you. I've had partners that they flake, you know. One of my boys called me, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, hey, partner, I'm stuck. Can you come get me? Yeah. You know, but then, you know, I had that one partner I called, hey, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm stuck on the freeway, can you come get me? Oh, man, I got this girl, and her name is Bonquisha, and I can't leave, dog. You know, I get it. But not everybody's going to be the same, but they all start out looking the same. You know, they start out looking the same.
Right.
Antidote. Don't judge. You don't judge for character. Don't judge overall, you know. Hey, you know what? Our time is like gone, and I hate that. But I love the fact that you listened with us today. We appreciate it. You're
yes,
so great.
Yes.
Raise your glasses, bottoms to the top. Every thought you have is great. Every idea is warranted. With every step you take and every endeavor you make, I hope they're always on point.
On point.
Thanks for joining us this week. We look to see you or have you back with us next week. You have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week coming. Peace.
Peace.